Hello, and welcome to Disrupting the Degree, the Education Marketing Podcast. I'm Stephen Cleary from Carnival Content with
Zeynep Fayez.
And Zeynep Fayez from The Brand Education. This podcast is all about higher education with industry trends, experts, and practical ideas across the student experience, brand, and marketing.
In this episode of Disrupting the Degree, it's just us for a change. So we were planning on doing this more often, but so far in our total of 10 episodes, we've done this. Well, this is only the second time. So hello, Zeynep and Zeynut. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Stephen.
So in this episode, we're going to be talking about communication, empathy, and authenticity during this time. And we're going to talk about a few quite topical things, starting off with the slightly unfortunate story of Manchester Fences. So if you haven't seen this, which I'm sure you have, unfortunately for Manchester University, they put up some fences around student accommodation without communicating with the students. And that's resulted in a bit of a protest and the students taking that all of the fences down. So I don't know what your thoughts are about this, guys.
We've been looking at the news, and it's almost like, I just feel like it's poor communication on the university's part. And right now, I think universities need to up their communication rather than keep things from their students. Students are their key stakeholders, and they're paying a lot of money to get a different experience that they would have usually got, and now being locked up in their accommodation without being told. I think it's just...
It's not quite locked up, though, I think. That's been some other universities, obviously, with COVID cases. Yeah. And I can't quite believe that we're talking about this, but
I know.
I've got a quote here with one of the students on the BBC saying, "There's fencing around the whole outside. We feel it's completely unnecessary. It makes us feel like we're in prison." And that's the complete opposite of what university campus life or accommodation life is meant to be like. Even during this time, it should be a safe space. And I understand that the university was obviously doing this to make the campus safer, but I also, from the sort of human side, how that actually makes you feel if you woke up and your house had fences, like metal fences put around, you would definitely feel trapped, wouldn't you?
It's almost like they don't trust them enough, and this is causing a bit of an uproar with the students as well, hence why it's made the news. I think it's just one of those sad times, and although the university have apologised, it's just kind of short-sighted at the moment, isn't it?
And this all happened because of the England lockdown
that we're all in at the moment.
Actually. Well, I'm not.
Oh, you're not?
I've been locked down for longer than you, obviously, living in Wales.
I think we were recording a previous episode when you went into lockdown, actually, with Rebecca.
Yeah, but we digress. So, yeah, it's from a university point of view, I can probably see... It's probably a case of where, and this is just completely hypothetical, that estates were trying to follow the rules and set these fences up just to ensure the safety of the students on the campus, maybe without communicating with marketing and student comms, which ended up no communication with the students. So the students didn't know that this was happening. And now they have national news stories about this incident, which, as I said, resulted in the students pulling down the fences and protesting and then putting videos on social media.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
it's not great, is it?
No. And I think that if universities want to earn themselves a good reputation right now, that they need to communicate to their students.
Like, absolutely.
Before any decisions are made, I think they should be kept in the loop.
Mm-hmm. Would it have been so bad if they had talked to the students expected that this was going to happen, they had some consultation, and then it could have been avoided?
Yeah, but there's a bit of a process with it, isn't it? It's almost like how we got told on Saturday that there's going to be a national lockdown, and we had time to prepare, whether that was mentally, whether that was just, you know, making sure you've got all your essentials,
toilet
whatever
paper.
Yeah, exactly. But it gave you that sort of a few days just to kind of absorb the information before it just, you know, it happened. Can you imagine the impact it's having on mental health, even you being locked up with fences physically outside of your building?
When mental health is for everyone, really, but especially the way students, the short straw that they've drawn through all of this process, especially first year students. I'm not sure it could be the straw that broke the camel's back, but it's not really a small thing, is it? If you wake up and you have metal fences that are over 2 meters high all around your building.
It's not very pleasant to look at either, I'm sure.
No, but this is the other thing, like thinking from a creative perspective, there's ways, let's at least make it a little bit more pleasant if you feel that the university needs to split up pathways. Like surely there's some kind of creative way of doing that.
If they care about the students, then they would, you know, trust the students to not allow non-residents into the building. You know, there's got to be an element of trust and the balance.
Well, they're adults as well.
Yeah,
aren't
they're
they?
Adults.
It's not, this isn't primary school or high school.
No.
Like the adults that have paid a lot of money to be there. Although this is not great. I can imagine their comms team are having an absolute nightmare at the moment. But the more things that happen like this is bad for the brand of higher education in the UK in general, but especially for each individual institution as well. They need to really plan carefully before doing anything like this around the students and communicating with them. It shouldn't be that difficult to do.
Yeah. I mean, the way I see it, would they do this to academics? You know, like if it was an academic accommodation area, would they have done that to their accommodation area? I think there's a lack of trust. And I think that's what reputation is built on, isn't it? It's a trust within the people, trust within their stakeholders. So if they are looking to hold on to reputation and keep their reputation intact during this situation, then they really do need to look at, you know, how are we talking to all of our stakeholders? And communication needs to be, you know, two ways. It's not like we communicate and it's not dictatorship, is it? Like you have to listen to your stakeholders. You have to
and understand
to
them. It's like the fundamentals of marketing, isn't it? Empathy with your audience, like understand them. Put yourselves into their shoes.
We're on an online world right now. And if we're not communicating by emails, by texts and services that are meant to, you know, be helping us during this time, are they even being used effectively? I mean, if you can't communicate, by the time you wake up tomorrow morning, it's going to be a bit of a different situation. It's better they know that, or anybody knows that, than not communicate at all. I think
with them.
Yeah, exactly.
You can absolutely have focus groups on Zoom and representatives from each flat in the accommodation block if you wanted to, and say, oh, look, we need to improve the safety of the accommodation so that everything and learning and teaching can continue. This is what we're proposing. What do you think? Can we improve it?
Yeah.
Lots of universities in their values have students as partners or some iteration of that. Surely this is the time where that is more important than ever. One of the other points, and again, this is another thing of putting profit before people, is the food packages. Some universities have charge students more money for the food packages than it costs them to actually create. And I completely understand that obviously universities and many businesses are really struggling during this time, but you're not going to make that much money on food packages. Would it not be better to support your students and give them, like, show that they're really valued by the university and be completely transparent that this is how much it costs, so we're just charging you the base rate? Or I don't know, how much does Uber delivery or whatever charge? Is like £2.50 or something, not like £20 profit on each package. It's just
short-sighted again. It's not like they're giving them healthy food or organic food, right? Like a lot of them have been caught up in the press around how the universities are trying to feed them junk food, and so they've recently even received negative press around the kind of care package they're delivering. And a lot of students have had to fall back to their parents or, you know, ask them for money and send packages to them. So it's not as though what they're providing is even of benefit to the students.
So it's important to really listen to what they want. If they want, you know, better food parcels, or whether they want their freedom, whether they want to have, you know, emails sent to them every single day, is something that needs to be heard.
And that's what the university should be reacting to. Obviously, the situation, I don't like to use the unprecedented word, but obviously we've never gone through this before. But some universities have done very well looking after their students.
Absolutely.
I mean, what we talked about with Rebecca from Swansea, and they've just really put their all into giving the best possible experience, even during this situation, and to really show the students that they genuinely care. Obviously, all universities really care about the students, but sometimes decisions are made in isolation without consultation with enough people to come up with a solution that would actually work. And the easiest way of doing this is having student councils or just student representatives and speaking with them with an active dialogue all the way. There's no excuse of not doing that now.
Yeah. And being empathetic as well towards the whole situation, because it's new for everybody.
Yeah.
But we can't be in this mindset, we've always done it this way, because it's never going to be this way. Exactly.
I also think that, you know, like what you said, Stephen, about like making decisions in isolation. I think before that would have worked because, you know, there wasn't COVID. So their decisions weren't going to be amplified to the extent that they are now.
I'd argue about whether that would have worked. Yeah, it could have worked to a certain extent, but it's still never going to be as good as actually in consultation or in communication with your students.
But what I also mean is that it wouldn't have had such negative press. You know, like before, it would have just gone under the carpet. Like if somebody made a decision in isolation and it impacted the university, it probably wouldn't have got this much press. Like they could have done something like this prior to COVID happening. You know, like some of the other situations that they've been dealing with. Somebody makes a decision in isolation and then a lot of it, the implications are affected by different multiple channels or faculty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But right now, I think that their brands are very amplified. Like students have a voice right now on social, and social is really helping communicate some of these negative decisions that they've made in isolation that are impacting the students.
But it's also, it's viral. You're constantly, you know, how many times do you check your phone? How many times do you go on social media?
There's stronger emotions around this because it's clearly things that are not right or that it's really upsetting people. And when stress and emotions run high, I mean, parents would not be very happy if they saw that actually this is where my child, even though my child's an adult, is living. It's not the student's fault as well. No. I feel like there's been a lot of negativity towards students' behavior during COVID. But remember, the government in the UK, at least for our international listeners, were pushing students to actually go to university.
Oh yeah, completely. Yeah.
And even the whole eat out and help out scheme, you know, everything was kind of gearing towards go have a bit of a social life.
Well, that's backfired, isn't
it? Completely.
Right. Let's move on before we go too much into politics. So so then talking about authenticity in marketing. So something else that hit headlines, which gave me a bit of a sigh in my head and my hands, was using influencers. Absolutely something that I have done in my previous work in university. So using social media influencers to promote the university, brilliant idea. But they need to have actually gone to the university to promote the university, whereas certain universities have used high profile influencers who haven't gone to that university to promote them, which is just so wrong on so many levels. Like that's just completely inauthentic.
Yeah, and false perception, if anything. It doesn't make me want to trust the university at all. Not because of whether they're well trusted or not, but because they're using somebody else to represent their students or represent their image when it's completely not the case.
But there's a really simple solution to this, and this is what I've done a lot, is find students that actually have a social media following who would be willing to engage in marketing promotions with the university, and then actually pay them to become like brand ambassadors for you or with alumni. I mean, that's the way to do it. There's no need of, I mean, it takes more effort. Don't get me wrong. It takes quite a long time to find who these students are, but I'm sure most universities would be able to pick out courses that it would be likely or just by speaking to the social media team and working that out. And then you have exactly what authentic influencer marketing should be.
We also need to remember, if you were to bring on students from the university, they share a similar sort of culture and understanding of the university. So they actually are representing the sort of, you know, they're representing the people they would want to attract in the future. So what better way to get, you know, feedback or even get your brand out there other than, you know, by not using your own students? I think it's quite important to touch on that.
I think it all ties in together as well. So if you give a good experience through COVID or as best as you can and show that you actually care. I'm trying to be positive after all of our negative talk so far. if you do that and you have students that are your ambassadors that are vlogging or on social media that explaining to prospective students how well the university is coping with, this is how you take a negative of this situation and turn it into a positive.
Yeah. And word of mouth is very strong.
Exactly.
It really reinforces, you know, creating that brand awareness.
So a lot of universities are now using alumni representatives on their websites where students can actually have live chat with them. And they also...
And current students as well.
And current students, yeah. So it's kind of like a reactive kind of community that can have a two-way conversation.
And authentic. And don't tell me that one of the first questions they're going to ask is, what's it actually like on campus during COVID?
Probably.
And I think it's also important to not forget the cost of such things as well. Because, you know, getting an influencer on, it can eat up a budget, especially if it's just one post or if you're choosing 12 posts a month or whatever you're doing. There's better ways to look around at using internal comms and using your internal marketing systems that can really add value.
There's a thing called influencer fraud as well. So you might think that having paying someone that's got 2 million followers is a great idea, but actually their engagement is quite poor. They could have purchased a lot of those followers as well compared to actually a current student or alumni who has an authentic voice who can answer those questions. It's just a much better way of doing it.
And it's much more genuine.
Exactly, yeah. Okay, well, that's maybe been a slightly more negative episode than we probably planned or previous Disrupting the Degrees, but I just think it's so important to not shy away from these things, that actually good communication with your students and staff and genuine empathy for the situation that they're going through at the moment is just so important generally across the board, but especially for your reputation and going forward.
We care about university, so we want to highlight these issues.
Yes, I think that's why we are so passionate about it, is because we want you all to do really well.
We do, and genuinely want you to do really well.
And these are touching topics nobody really wants to talk about because it receives so much negative press. But actually, there's a way around things.
But even the things you can't plan for, you just have to think...
Non-reactively.
Well, no, you have to react to these things. You just need to communicate clearly and think from their point of view as well.
Yeah, really putting yourselves in their shoes and having that empathy, like having that caring dialogue. Because we're all craving that right now. Like we want to be there for one another. You know, there's that whole unified element that we had at the beginning of COVID, but everybody was really hopeful
in it together.
Mm-hmm. I think I think universities just need to have a bit more of that.
Yeah.
Community spirit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And live your values.
Absolutely.
Well, that's our 10th episode done. Thank you very much for listening. And if you enjoy what we're talking about here, then it would mean a lot to us if you'd subscribe. Disrupting the Degree is brought to you by The Brand Education and Carnival Content.